Welcome back. This is Saturday with Brian Dowling. Minister Francis Fitzgerald and Independent TD Finian McGrath are still here with us, and we're also joined by Damien O'Reilly, a lecturer in retail at the Dublin Institute of Technology, and Cormac Lucy, a financial analyst and a columnist in the Irish Daily Mail. Now, earlier this week, the government outlined the terms of the Public Health Alcohol Bill. This, says the government, is the first effort to deal with alcohol abuse as a public health issue. The bill has a number of key points, one of which is the introduction of minimum unit pricing on alcohol, regulating the marketing and advertising of alcohol, new enforcement powers, separating alcohol products from other products in a mixed trading outlet, and the regulation of sports sponsorship. If I might just turn first of all to Cormac Lucy, one of the aims, according to the government, one of the targets in relation to this legislation is to reduce the average person's consumption of pure alcohol from 11.6 litres, roughly a bottle of vodka per week per person, to 9.1 litres, which is the OECD average, by 2020. Do you believe that it'll work?
Well, it may be working already. According to Revenue Commissioner data, alcohol consumption in Ireland is down 19%. Since it peaked in 2001. So there are trends of falling alcohol consumption out there in any event, regardless of what government does. If we look what government is doing in combating smoking, which is a similar problem, according to the authorities who monitor these things, Ireland has the second most stringent regulations against tobacco in Europe, but we have the third highest rate of smoking in Europe. And that hasn't dropped in the last 8 years. So I think my concern isn't regarding the objective of policy. It's regarding whether the mechanisms that we're choosing and the policies we're choosing will actually achieve the desired objective.
Damien O'Reilly, you're a lecturer in retail in the Dublin Institute of Technology. Do you believe that the proposed legislation offers the kind of mechanism and routes to achieving that objective of reduced alcohol consumption?
If I may go back and just... It's come from the substance misuse report from 2012, and that actually had 45 recommendations in it, as I'm sure the Minister well knows. And I know we're highlighting some areas of it here. Research throughout the world will show you that, you know, just basic laws of supply and demand is that price increases in alcohol. Every study will show you that it leads to a decrease in consumption. How you implement the price changes, either through taxes, which is probably a very blunt way of doing it, or by using a minimum unit pricing, they all work. And it's a matter of how we want to achieve, as Cormac said, achieve the objective of reducing the consumption by 2020.
Minister, just looking at the figures that Cormac Lucy mentioned there, if our consumption has already fallen by 19% since 2001, do we actually need this legislation?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a landmark publication in terms of an approach by a government to a serious public health issue. I mean, we have a major public issue in this country in relation to alcohol, the misuse of alcohol and its impact. Whether you're talking about the billions literally, probably 3.2 billion that it's costing the health service. If you look at children, Irish children are drinking earlier and they're drinking more than their European counterparts. If you look at the deaths of young men, one in four has an association with alcohol. It's also heavily linked to suicide. So the price that we're paying in terms of our misuse of alcohol is enormous. No government has tackled it in across the board way like we have in terms of the response to the report that was published in February 2012, the National Substance Misuse Strategy. What's very clear is that you need to take a variety of measures. You need to protect younger children, younger people. One of the reasons, of course, you've the reduction is to do with our overall economic situation. So you were going to get that reduction anyway. But I mean, all of the evidence is saying that Irish adults drink too much and drink in a harmful way and that a harmful pattern, and that our young children, our teenagers and young people are doing the same. And you have to implement, I mean, if you look at what's happened, for example, the 161% increase in the number of off licences opening between 1998 and 2010. I mean, if you look at the availability of cheap alcohol, we all know the antisocial behaviour that results. We have to take action. And sometimes there is, you know, there is a tension, obviously, between whether it's competition policy and whatever criteria are used in relation to that and public health. I think it's about time public health was out there as a key issue to be dealt with.
Finian McGrath, do you believe this legislation is sufficient, or do you think it should have gone even further?
I think it's part of the jigsaw to find a solution. I don't go down the route of the nanny state ever, because I think that's an issue. But I think there's a huge problem about binge drink in this country. I welcome the aspects of the legislation, the proposals to deal with the pricing and also the advertising for young people. I think that's very important. But we also have to face up to reality as well, as that education for younger people, we've a major cultural thing in this country, and both in UK and Scotland as well, because I know from talking to parliamentarians around in different European states. But if you go to countries like France, for example, they don't have that problem at all in relation to their teenagers and binge drinking issues like that. So I would say that we have got to look at examples of other European countries as well, where you see examples of best practice. So we have to deal with the situation. We have the current situation where 60% of alcohol as well is sold in supermarkets, and that's something that I have major concerns as well. But also the objective should be to go back to, yes, it's not to create the nanny state, yes, to have sensible, have encouraged the vast majority of people who like to go for a pint, the moderate drinkers, a healthy attitude and a healthy education towards moderate drinking. And I think that's the way forward, rather than kind of beating up people, like we'll say, I'm always giving out about in relation to the smoking debate and the nanny state and all that. It's about health, it's about education, it's about persuasion, rather than kind of beating us all up.
Damien O'Reilly, there is of course a real risk that one of the key elements in this legislation, which is the introduction of minimum unit pricing, could be derailed by, there has been a preliminary EU Commission ruling in relation to this in Scotland, which has ruled against it. Now there's a full ruling still to come.
Yes.
If this falls, one of the central aspects of this legislation will fall with it.
Indeed, yeah. Just one or two points on what Finian said there. he talked about France. Maybe it's not really an exemplar, because they are actually top of the list on the World Health Organization for litres consumed of alcohol consumed.
But I was talking about teenagers specifically now. No, okay. not the overall figures. Teenagers, okay. Yeah.
And 60%, yeah, of course the concentration. If you take the top three retailers here, Super Value, Super Quinn, Dunnes and Tesco's, they own more than 80% of the market. And if you include the discounters, we're talking about 95% plus of the market. Of course the concentration is going to be in the supermarkets. As the Minister said, there's been an increase of 161%, as she said, in off-licences. On-licences have been affected in the opposite way. On top of that, we've also got, it's just been a change because of the recession as well, is that we are consuming more at home. And I think what the Minister, if you don't mind me saying, sorry, I think it's, we need to look at specific categories within the alcohol industry. The increase in beer consumption, sorry, the decrease in beer consumption from 70% 20 years ago down to 48% now is a significant factor. And the increase has been taken up by cheaper alcohol, especially in the wine sales.
Cormac Lucy, do you think it would have been simpler and easier to simply go ahead and adopt a policy system similar to the United States and simply ban alcohol for anybody aged under 21?
I think that would be something worth considering. I think young drinking, the time somebody starts drinking, has a predictive telltale sign on later problem drinking. And an absolute ban at a young age would be easier to enforce, would have a more direct impact. And that's one nanny state measure that I would support, even though generally I'm opposed to them. Just coming back to something Finian and Damien said, Finian was mentioning the problem of binge drinking and the French culture being able to get around it. Damien was mentioning that the French drink more alcohol than anybody else. There's a clear connection between a country's latitude, seasonal affective disorder, and the incidence of problem drinking. The Scandinavians, the Scots, the Irish, the Eskimos, this is a big, big problem that has to do with
latitude. Are we simply entrapped by our geographical location?
To a certain extent we are, and I think there's a degree here where we're tilting at windmills. If we think we can fix this problem, we can contain it and manage it, but we will not be able to eliminate it, sadly to say.
Minister Fitzgerald, what about the idea of just simply adopting the American system, banning alcohol for everybody under 21?
You know, that's obviously an option. I'm interested to hear what Cormac has to say about it. And our young people go to America and Canada, indeed, are well used and they try to find ways around it. But I think you need a variety of measures. I mean, all of the evidence, for example, if you look at advertising to young people and brand awareness, the brand awareness about alcohol is so high. The research is showing it's so high amongst our young people. And clearly, exposure to branding and advertising of alcohol leads to earlier drinking. I mean, there is an incredible amount of research about that. So I don't take the pessimistic view that Cormac takes about, you know, being able to interrupt our more traditional approaches and our pattern of binge drinking. And when the, you know, expert group looked at this, and they took a long time, they examined all of the evidence. What they said clearly was, you can make a difference, you can intervene. But I think we have to, you know, really stand up and be counted on this. We have to look at the sports sponsorship issue very seriously.
Because but the sports sponsorship issue has been kicked down the road
for another year. For 1 year, because we do have to examine sports funding. That's a very real issue that people have concerns about, and alternative sources of funding. And
but a lot of the issues, if I might interrupt you, a lot of the issues around sports sponsorship were examined over the period of this examination. People know the issues.
Yes, but you have to look at the actual implementation and say, well, if you're going to change from sponsorship by the alcohol companies, how are various sports going to manage? Where is the funding going to come from? And you need to examine that in detail. That's what will be done, while at the same time looking at the public health implications for children and adolescents. So that the Department of the Taoiseach are examining that for 1 year and reporting within a year. But again, just to go back to the point I'm making, you have to intervene on so many levels. You have to believe you can make a difference in this, because if you don't, the consequences are so severe. I mean, look at the sort of statistics I've given you about the cost. What would 3 extra billion do to the health service? You're looking at not just young men with cirrhosis of the liver in their 20s.
Is the government seriously suggesting,
women and men.
Is the government seriously suggesting that if all this legislation is enacted in its fullness in time, that we would actually save 3 billion?
Well, I mean, the reality is, if you can deal with the damage that is done to health by alcohol, and if you can not have 2,000 beds a night being used for conditions associated with alcohol, those are the kind of savings. I'm not suggesting that you're going to make all of these immediately, but I'm saying you've got to believe that we should make these interventions, and it is certainly these paths that should be followed if we want to deal with what is a very serious problem for us.
Finian McGrath.
Well, just two things. First, in relation to the sports advertising issue, I just think that if they go ahead with this recommendation in 12 months' time, a lot of thousands of sports or hundreds of sports groups around the country will be banjacks, and for the amount of funding, and they're not going to get the funding. I think it's a major problem the government has faced up to. But to go back to the other issue, to develop maybe a little bit what Cormac said in relation to the education issue is very important. I know this from working with 13-year-olds in my previous day job, and I always remember the impact, we'll say, with 13-year-old boys in a classroom where an alcoholic who's been on the drive for 20 years comes in as part of the health education programme, does the 40-minute questions and answers and talk, and the impact that has when he tells them how he destroyed his family, how he destroyed his children, all this kind of information about the negative effects of alcohol. I think what we've got to do is progress this. I know there are thousands of teachers around the country who are doing this every single day, and nobody ever gives them a mention. So education for me is the way forward to deal with these kind of issues as well.
Very quickly, Damien O'Reilly.
Yeah, I would have to fundamentally disagree with that, is that the research will show you worldwide that education, leaflets, information like that, while it is a pillar, is that it actually has very, very little effect on the actual consumption of alcohol.
Before we go to the next break, just a couple of texts and emails that are coming in. Most of them anonymous. Can we have, in relation to the Roma children, can we have a little bit of perspective on this, please? If the Gardaí had not acted initially, there would have been a more hysterical reaction. Minister Alan Shatter, second one, Minister Alan Shatter said, the guards acted in good faith. What a feeble excuse. No one ever considered the possibility that the parents were speaking the truth, nor the consequences should the authorities have proven to be wrong. That's from Douglas. Another one. I don't agree with Finian about racism. If my child was missing, I'd like to think that every lead would be followed up. Another anonymous one. The threshold for intervention in a risk family is scarily high. It is a miracle that children have not died. That's from Anya, who's a former HSE social worker. In relation to the drink issue, no decrease in consumption, just a race to the border. That's assuming, obviously, that there's a big price differential. And another one on the drink issue, exclusion and debt in our economy are causing desperation and despair, which will ultimately lead to substance abuse and suicide. And finally, typical of the nanny state hypocrisy, dismantle the doll bar, and that's from Danny. Now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, is the pension gravy train still rolling for the top earners? Join us then.